I appreciate y'all being here, and I have a Christmas wish to share with you this morning, like I've been doing. Last week, we shared, my wish for you was joy and love would come out of you because Jesus has come into you. Remember that? 2 weeks ago, my wish was that you give God the benefit of the doubt. I can tell you already that next week, I'm going to use my nativity scene, and my wish for you is that you get the scene back in order in your own life. That's my wish for you next week. But for this week, just a little piece. My mom is fairly new to the texting world. She probably needs to stay out of that world because this is becoming a problem. I don't understand what she's saying. She uses all these letters. For instance, the other day, she thinks you can abbreviate anything and the person on the other end should understand what she means. She's texting me, and then she finally says, "Oh, by the way, your dad said S-Y-A-C. Anybody have a clue?" Well, I didn't either, so I called her. I said, "What's he trying to say?" She said, "Well, duh, see you at Christmas." I'm supposed to know that? So I texted her back. O-W-B-T. She called me. So what's that? I said, "Okay, we'll be there." And we can do this all day. So I found some abbreviations for some older folk. Because some of our older folk are starting to do their own texting. And they got their own language, and I can't understand it. So if you get a text from an older person, and they say ATD, that means at the doctor. BTW, bring the wheelchair. BYOT, my dad should text that one, bring your own teeth. FWIW, forgot where I was. FYI, found your insulin. LOL, living on Lipitor. ROFLCGU, rolling on the floor laughing, can't get up. TOT, texting on toilet. Some of you are going to use these, aren't you? WWNO, walker wheels need oil. This might be my favorite. GGLKI, got to go, laxative kicking in. It's fairly easy to get things messed up, especially this time of year. We got gifts going to the wrong people. We got cards going to somebody that they weren't meant for, and they say some really personal things can get out of whack pretty easy. That's what happened to Bill and Barb Lester. They ordered a treehouse set for their children for Christmas, and they got the design and everything, but they were waiting for the materials. But the materials for the treehouse didn't show up. What showed up was the materials for a sailboat instead of the treehouse. Well, so they wrote the company and complained, and the company wrote back and said, "We'll fix the mistake." But then the company added this note, and I thought this was cool. The company said, "While we regret the inconvenience the mistake may have caused you, we're sure it can't compare to that of the Sullivans who are out on a lake somewhere trying to sail your treehouse." So it's easy to get things jumbled up. You got all kinds of things going on around Christmas time, and you got all kinds of scriptures coming at me, and I decided, you know what, this year I'm going to do something different, thus the Christmas wishes, and I picked a different passage. I don't know if y'all have ever spent much time landing in Luke chapter 1, the last several verses. It's a big chapter in the Bible, and I found a text that speaks directly to me this morning, and my wish to you, I just wish that you'd find a little peace this Christmas. Here it is, Luke 1, 67, 78. This would be the father of John the Baptist talking. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from," that's a key word, "our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. To rescue us," we just sang that, "from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days." And here he talks about John the Baptist. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give the people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven." Is that cool? by which the rising sun will come to us. So he's talking about John the Baptist, who will point the way to Jesus, and then he talks about Jesus and gives us the text for today, the next verse, Luke 1:79. To shine on those, the rising sun will shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet, here it is, into the path of peace. That's cool. The path of peace. Which says to me, what I want to say to you this morning, stop waiting for it. Start walking in it. If it is a path of peace, stop waiting for it. Start walking in it. I love that description, and that's my wish for you this morning. Now, like a good doctor who's trying to help his patients, a good preacher wants to help the people of his church. So I want you to, I want to see what I'm working with this morning. On the count of three, you shout out the number that represents the stress level you've been feeling lately. From a 1 to 10 scale. Now, don't throw out 11s and 12s. I've got that in the other services. 1 through 10, shout out what you think reveals the stress level you're feeling right now. Get downright Pentecostal with this. Shout it out, all right? I mean, don't hold back. 1 through 10, all right? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Seven.
I heard several different numbers. Try it again, all right? 1, 2, 3.
Five.
Heard some ones down here. And that's the way it should be. These kids shouldn't be stressed. Heard a couple tens over here, and I understand it, seeing who you're sitting by. Now, I want you to, this is dangerous, but for just a moment, close your eyes, if you would. Now, some of you already had them closed. That's a whole different problem. Close your eyes just for a second. Picture the person or the situation that is bringing you the stress in your life right now. Get that in your head. The picture, the person, the place, the opportunity, whatever. You got it? Okay, open your eyes, please. All right. Now, I'm not a mind reader, and I can't for sure say I know exactly what you pictured, but I've got it down to four different categories that would cover all of us, I think. A place, a pace, a problem, or a person. My guess is whatever you envision involves a place, work maybe, home maybe, a pace, you're too busy, too hurried, got too much to do, a problem, just found out my dad has cancer, my kid's rebelling, it's a bad time for the water heater to break, I don't have the money, Christmas, or a person, relatives coming to visit, mother-in-law's been living with you for 6 months, whatever it might be. A place, a pace, a person, or a problem, or a person would describe what brings us stress. Now, as the passage we read, the mindset of the first century Jewish person, Jewish family, their expectation is that Jesus will come, he will set up shop, and he will kick the tail of their enemies, and he will save them from their enemies. That's what it said in Luke 1:71. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. Notice the word from. Be saved from. But that's not our perspective. Here's ours in the next verse. The rising sun will shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet in the path of peace. Notice the shift in perspective. And man, it's a good one. Because here's what it means for you and me. God does not always rescue me from my trouble. Sometimes he visits me in my trouble. For so many years, I thought that the thief of my peace was other people or certain places. But I'll tell you what it is. I've come to understand what the problem is for me. I'll never experience peace while I keep expecting perfection. I won't. In you, in my situation, in my circumstances, God has been speaking to me lately. Now, don't get freaked out. I've been reading my Bible more. That's why he's been speaking to me more. And I'm feeling convicted about this. Because I've always wanted to blame my stress on ministry or specific people or a divorce or an addiction or whatever it might be. And the Lord has been trying to tell me this for a long time, but I just wasn't paying attention. It's probably how Franklin Roosevelt felt when he wondered out loud if anybody was ever paying attention to anything he said. He said he got tired of smiling and saying the usual things at White House receptions. So one evening, check this out, he decided to find out if anyone was listening when they went through the line to shake his hand. So as the guest arrived and would walk up to him for a usual greeting, Roosevelt would simply smile and say, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Just to see if anybody was paying attention. And he said nobody was. He said there was only one, a foreign diplomat, the only one. And when the president said to him, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," the foreign diplomat replied, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming." How often do you think that God tries to speak this, but man, we got so much junk around us, the stress level and the problems that we're immersed in. He can't get through to us. He's tried. And he just can't get through all of that, nor do we let him. Listen, my problem is I expect perfection, but when I look at the Christmas scene, I'm reminded there ain't nothing perfect about this except Jesus. He was born in a manger. The angel appeared to shepherds. It was in Bethlehem where no Motel 6 was leaving the light on for him. He was born with a target on his back from King Herod. Everything in the story screams imperfection. Everything except Jesus. So here's my conclusion. The enemy of your peace is not other people. Sorry. It's not other places. It's not how fast life is or the problem you're currently experiencing. The enemy of your peace is your insistence on perfection. Jesus didn't come down looking like a deliverer. He came down looking like a dependent. He didn't come down in power. He came down in Pampers. Not what you expect. And the peace that we find, it may not look like what you expected it to look like. So let me take you all off the hook. If I'm sitting in a preacher's meeting sometime and they say, "Mark, what's the reason for all your stress?" I can never blame you all. As much as I might want to, I cannot honestly say, "Well, it's my church." Because here's my conclusion. If I blame people for my stress, I'm going to need people to change before I can have peace. And I ain't ever going to have peace. I can have an amen on that, can't I? If the only path to peace is for people to change, I'm past the point in my life where I'm needing people to act a certain way before I can find peace in my heart. What's that famous Christian Christmas verse? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, not of earth. Peace on earth, not of earth. I don't want that plastic peace that comes from people that people can take away. I don't want that peace that comes from my situation because my situation can change. I don't want a peace that comes from a promotion at work. I don't want a peace that comes from a convenient circumstance. I don't want a peace that comes from a temporary feeling. Listen to me, church. I don't want a peace that the world can bring, because if the world can bring it, the world can take it away. I don't want that. I want to walk that path of peace. And I'm never going to till I quit being the perfectionist that I was born to be. It's a problem. I'm getting better, but I'll tell you how God took care of my perfectionist tendencies. He took care of it 4 times. Children. That did it. I mean, if you thought you had a perfect house and everything's perfectly in order like I like it and the schedule's perfect, you have kids and you will wreck the perfection. You know what I had to learn to do after the 4 kids? I had to learn to take my peace in pieces. Because if I had to wait for all 4 children to be happy at the same time, if I had to wait until all 4 were getting along with each other, if I'm waiting for every child to bow their head, say their prayer, clean their dishes, and thank their mom, man, I learned to thank God when just 1 kid would put a bowl in the sink. Forget about the dishwasher. Just 1 bowl in the sink. That's a Red Sea Old Testament miracle in my house. Just in the sink. Amen. I'll celebrate 1 bowl. The Christmas... You can't, this Christmas, you can't wait for everybody to get along. Just a piece of peace. Grab it, snatch it, celebrate it when you can. Zechariah, he didn't say, "I'll lead you to the path of peace." This may be my favorite Christmas scripture now. He will guide our feet in the path of peace. You realize, some people say, "Well, I can't wait till this year's over. Everything will be better next year." The calendar's not going to take the chaos out of your life. "Well, when I get my kids raised, then I'll have peace." Really? Well, guess what? Then they're going to start driving. That's peaceful, isn't it? It's not the path to peace. It's not a one-day peace. It's not a someday fairy tale Beauty and the Beast peace. It's not a when I get married peace. It's not a when my children are grown peace. It's not a when my mortgage is paid off peace. It's not when I get through Christmas peace. It's not the path to peace. Someday, it's the path of peace. And what it all means is every step I take, He's with me. Every move I make, He's with me. I'm not waiting for it someday for everything to be right. I'm walking in it now. That's my wish for you. Now, there's two things you have to have to walk the path of peace. 2 points. Now, you'll wish I went to the second one and skipped the first one. But the fact that you'll wish I skipped the first one means you all need to hear it. Number one, to walk the path of peace, you need patience. Requires patience. Bummer, huh? How many of you would identify? So far, I've had 2 services, so I've preached to to over 200 people, and I've had 3 people who identified themselves as patient. 3 people out of 200. This is an impatient church. So honestly, how many of you would identify yourself as a patient person? Let me see your hands, because I want to look and see, because I know some of you, and I may have to refute. Okay, we don't have very many in here either. My wife has her hand up. She is, I agree with that. I don't always agree when she raises her hand, but I agree with that today. She's a very patient person. I got some scenarios for you. You're in the doctor's office, and what's the first room you come into when you go to a doctor's office? Waiting room. They call it that for a reason, don't they? So here's a scenario. After you wait, what do you do? A, you're grateful for the extra time to finally read the 1995 issue of Reader's Digest. Is that anybody? B, you fake a Sanford and Son style heart attack in hopes to receive immediate attention. It's the big one, Elizabeth. C, in an effort to clear the waiting room, you announce that you just returned from Africa and you have a highly contagious disease. That'll work, by the way. Okay, well, let's get closer to home. You're on 37 North, and you got to be in Bloomington by a certain time. And the traffic is stopped. I mean stopped down there. In the valley near the lake. So A, you drive on the shoulder and try to pass a number of cars before you break into the line ahead of everybody else. If this is you, God has spoken to me. And that is the unpardonable sin. And when you die, you'll go straight to hell for doing stuff like that. Just kid. Kind of. B, back up on the shoulder against traffic in an attempt to find another exit and skip the traffic jam. Now, that won't send you to hell, but your mansion won't be as good as somebody else's. C, you lay on the horn in order to get traffic moving faster, as if that helps. Or D, the good Christians at Hillcrest, I see you all doing this. You see this as an opportunity to install a worship CD and enjoy some quiet time with God. Anybody? Now, this may seem contradictory to mention patience when we're talking about walking in peace, not waiting for it, but the truth is patience always precedes peace. I will take you to lunch. No, I'm having lunch with my family at home. I will buy your lunch if you can come within 100 of the number of promises God has made in the Bible. No Googling. Throw out a number, and if you come with 100, I'll buy your lunch. Of course, I'll use the church credit card, but I'll buy your lunch. How many? 260? Chloe, that's nowhere near it. But thank you for trying. Hey, say it again. 3,000, Phil? 600? Man, I got... What? Say that again, Tyler. Did you Google? He is exactly right. I hope you like the dollar menu at McDonald's. 3,000. Very good, Tyler. 3,573. And sometimes it seems like God takes forever to keep His promise. Now, He's kept some of the 3,573 to this point. We've seen that. We amen that. We know some are in the future. But often, it takes Him some time. Can we be honest with each other just for a moment? Can I be direct? haven't you ever felt like I have? God, you could fix my life in 10 minutes if you just would. Right? You could take the cancer away. You could take the addiction away. You could give a job. You could help with the finances. You could do all, if you just would. Just right now. Just do it right now. You could. You could if you just would. Waiting on God. But you know what? It's not just us waiting on God. God waits on us too, doesn't he? God waits on us. Now, I hope you take this with the spirit that it's preached. Some people want help from God with finances, but they've been robbing God since the day they were born. Some want help from God with a relationship, but they've not been willing to forgive the person who hurt them. Some complain they never hear from God or feel God when his very word lays unopened year after year on their table or their nightstand. We wait on God, of course we do. He waits on us too. As a matter of fact, the best example of God waiting on us or for us is the very reason Jesus has not yet come back the second time. There's a Bible answer as to why Jesus has not yet returned to earth. You know what it is? It's given in 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Can I interpret that for you? The reason we haven't seen Jesus yet the second time is because he wants you to have one more opportunity to be saved and escape the fire of hell. He wants your spouse, your children, your family, your friends to have one more chance. Just one more chance. One more opportunity to be saved before hell. Thank God for his patience. Thank God for his patience. So we wait on God. Of course we do. God waits on us. But put that on the list of things I'm thankful for, the patience of God. I've often talked about my Mamaw Leiter, but not my Mamaw Fugate. My Mamaw Leiter was the musician, Karen. She could play any instrument she picked up. Phenomenal. Banjo, mandolin, fiddle, guitar. Piano, she didn't pick up a piano, but piano, it didn't matter. Anything she picked up or sat down to, she could play. And she was phenomenal. And I talk about her all the time. My Mamaw Fugate didn't have any musical ability, but she was phenomenal as well. And I learned some things from her. By the way, could she snore? She was a terrible. We didn't want to stay with her all night. We wanted to stay with her all day, but once she went to bed, we didn't want to be in the house because it didn't matter how many rooms away you were. It was a terrible snore, too. It's one of those where you kind of hear the snot going in and out. You know what I mean? I was gonna wait till Charlie came back, but it fits too well. Charlie was on the very back row. Early service this several weeks ago, and Jerry Fox went out before the end of my sermon, and Charlie had his head down, and Jerry was pretty sure he's sleeping, and tapped him on the shoulder, and he said, "You're sleeping," and he said, "I'll never be able to sleep. He's too loud." That's what Charlie said. So shortly after that, like a few days later, I walk out of my office, and I hear this terrible sound down the hallway. That wasn't good for me. Hang on. I don't practice some of this stuff. So I walk down there, and there's this little cove by Charlie's office, if you've ever seen it, and he is laid out, man. He is laid out in a chair, and his mouth is open. And I got all kinds of things going through my head about I can mess with him and do to him, but I didn't. I just, you know, bless your heart and let him sleep. But then I had a dream, and I've already told Charlie this. I dreamed that Charlie was in a car with a Jewish rabbi and a Hindu priest. Doesn't that sound like a dream? And they'd run out of gas in the middle of the night, and the farmer says, "Well, we only got two beds, and one of you got to sleep in the barn for the night." And the Hindu said, "Well, I'm used to that. I'm of humble means." Well, about an hour later, there's a knock on the door, and it's the Hindu, and he said, "I'm sorry, but there's a cow in your barn, and that's against my beliefs. I can't sleep there. And besides that, the cow snores crazily." Rabbi says, "Well, I'm a man from humble means. I'll sleep in the barn." About an hour later, there's a knock on the door, and the farmer answers. Rabbi says, I'm sorry, but there's a pig in your barn, and that's against my beliefs. And besides that, he snores terribly. I can't sleep. So poor old Charlie was forced to sleep in the barn. About an hour later, there's a knock on the door. It's the pig and the cow. Mamaw Fugate was a terrible snorer. But putting that aside, which really was her only flaw, if you consider that a flaw, it was when I slept there. But she was awesome with the way she approached life. And I want to know if some of you older folk have used this phrase, or your parents or grandparents did, because my mamaw's the only one I've ever heard say it. She'd make preparations from September to December, and you'd ask her what she's doing, and she'd say, I'm getting ready to weather the winter. Anybody use that phrase? What are you doing? I'm weathering the winter. Weathering the winter, waiting for spring. I had just been hired here at Hillcrest when I got a call and had to drive down there. And those phrases just kept going through my mind, weathering the winter, waiting for spring. And as we carried her casket up that mountain, I still can't imagine how we did that. And I guess that's how they do it every time they bury somebody, because there's no other way to get up there. We walked it up on our shoulders, all kinds of people helping, and the crowd followed. And as we walked up that mountain down in Kentucky, I had this peace that came from knowing she has weathered her last winter, and for her, eternal spring had come. You can't walk the path of peace without an eternal perspective, without the willingness to wait on God, knowing he will keep every promise he has ever made to us. Requires patience. Let me close with this thought. The path of peace requires priority. As I get older, I feel more of an urgency to get down to brass tacks. And at Christmas time now, I've noticed this in my own preaching and ministry the last few years, I'm wanting to focus less and less on the cradle and more on the cross. I'm wanting to focus on why he came and not the surroundings of when he came. And I saw some videos recently of some dad reflexes. Have you seen these? Where kids are either falling or something's about to happen and dad just reaches out and snatches and saves them from getting hurt. They're pretty cool. And they remind me of what God has done for us. So check out some of these dad reflex videos, and then I'll wrap this up.
Are you getting daddy dressed, Anna? Did you fall down at me?
Good luck.
She's going again.
Going again.
John, don't hit him, George. Wait. Or Sarah. Sarah!
What's she coming all this way just to see you for?
Lottie!
My favorite. There's some texts that go with these videos, and in the text with each one, it's the phrase, good save, that's shouted out. Good save! Good save! Let me tell you about the best save. Because every year when we study this story, I need this reminder. I was lost in my sin. Jesus came for me, took my place on the cross. You look at the cross, you look at God's reflex, and you say, good save. My dad has preached the same thing every Christmas. I appreciate him for it. His focus will be the same this year. It never changes. He says we have to put Christ back in Christmas. I can still hear his voice. Got to put Christ back in Christmas. And I agree with that. But I want to develop that a little bit this year. More than being concerned about putting Christ back in Christmas, I want to do my part to put Christ back in Christian. How about that? At my former church, one Christmas, we decided to not only celebrate Christmas, but we decided to be Christmas. I mean, that was the campaign. Not only will we celebrate Christmas, we're going to be Christmas this year. And Derek, there was one of my young teens that took me up on this, And his name was Jacob. He went door to door in his neighborhood asking to be able to do some small jobs to make some money. And the reason he wanted to make the money was because there was a classmate at school who wore an old ragged sweatshirt during recess and would freeze to death in the wintertime, didn't have a coat. So Jacob from our church wanted to buy him a coat, which is awesome. He asked his neighbors, can I do anything for you? Well, he stacked wood and did some cleanup of some brush for people. In a course of a week, he made $200. And this was all because we were talking about being Christmas to someone instead of just celebrating for yourself. $200. He had his mom take him to the mall. He bought a North Face coat for $160, a really nice coat. Had his mom drive him to the kid's house, knocked on the door, and the kid answered, and Jacob handed him the wrapped-up coat and said, Merry Christmas, and Jesus wants you to have this. Then, this is what makes him not the typical, not only kid, but person. He reached in his pocket, and he took out the $35 that he had left from buying the coat, from the money he had earned himself, and he gave it to the kid and said, just buy whatever you want. It's yours now. Merry Christmas. That's more than just celebrating Christmas. That's being Christmas. That's being Christmas. I don't want to just put Christ back in Christmas. I want to put Christ back in Christian. And I want to be a little bit more like Jesus with each Christmas that comes. I don't know if you've ever read much from the Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn. When I was in college, we did a deep dive in this man's books, and he later came to Christ, and he wrote some incredible things. He battled Joseph Stalin and remained alive. Stalin was brutal. Stalin killed 20 million of his own people, and he had Solzhenitsyn exiled to Siberia. Because this man was already popular with the United States because of his writings, our country went to bat for him. Got him out of exile. People who were on the scene at the time still can't believe that Stalin didn't have him killed. So he was brought to live in the United States, away from Joseph Stalin and the Russians. They bought him a cabin in Vermont. And in the first interview here, he said he was amazed how we in this country just don't realize how blessed we are. He said, even the air in this country feels free. And when he said it, a photographer snapped this famous picture. It's my favorite historical picture of all time. Because look at the way he is just enjoying a breath of free, fresh air. I don't have anyone in my life that I've ever seen look like that just for breathing. He realizes how awesome, how blessed. And he understands that freedom isn't free. And if you read his writings, he understands that real freedom is found in Jesus. There are so many quotes that I've used of this man through the years. Here's my favorite. Solzhenitsyn said, everything you add to the truth subtracts from the truth. Man, do we need to hear that at Christmas? Because I'm feeling pretty convicted this Christmas. We neither want to add to Jesus, church, and neither we want to subtract from Jesus. We just want Jesus. Amen? And with just Jesus, we will find ourselves not waiting for peace someday, but walking in peace today. That's my wish. That's my wish for you this Christmas.